Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include: residents in Wuhan, only Falun Gong cares about us. Letter to the editor: judicial and law enforcement agencies in China have not returned to normal business despite claim of victory over epidemic. Feature film Eternal 50 Minutes depicts events surrounding the staged self-immolation and TV network interruption. New Zealand: Falun Dafa practitioners invited to the annual Kumu show in Auckland. Chinese Communist Party forcing youngsters to join its youth organizations during the epidemic. And three Western practitioners stand up for Falun Dafa in China in December 1999. Now for the stories.
Residents in Wuhan, only Falun Gong cares about us. What residents in Wuhan at the epicenter of the COVID-19 outbreak have seen and heard is completely at odds with what state-run media and Chinese Communist Party officials have claimed. Many Wuhan residents are infuriated at how the regime has treated people during the outbreak. The CCP intentionally covered up the coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan and then spread misinformation, causing the deadly virus to spread around the world. The CCP continues its attempts to deceive the Chinese people by covering up the news about the virus, spreading rumors, and persecuting individuals who dare to speak out. Chinese have reported that local mental hospitals are full and people have been committing suicide by jumping from tall buildings. Many families in Wuhan are facing starvation due to the forced lockdown. China's state-run media has been spreading propaganda stating that the epidemic is now under control, but many in China now doubt the credibility of these reports, especially while so many people are still struggling to obtain food and medicine. Throughout this humanitarian disaster, Falun Gong practitioners outside of China have been making phone calls to people in Wuhan to give them accurate information about the spread of the virus and help them to stay safe. Practitioners have been advising people to distance themselves from the Communist Party to have a safe future. Many people in Wuhan who answered these calls from Falun Gong practitioners were moved to tears. One call made by a Falun Gong practitioner rang the daughter of a man who was hospitalized in an intensive care unit awaiting surgery for an intestinal obstruction because the hospital was too busy with the overwhelming number of coronavirus patients. The surgery was canceled. The practitioner told her to recite two phrases: Falun Dafa is good, and truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good. During the conversation, the young lady, now in tears, said, "Only Falun Gong cares about us. Actually, I often browse overseas websites by getting around the internet firewall. Their news is quite different from what the media in China reports. We have been deceived."
Letter to the editor: judicial and law enforcement agencies in China have not returned to normal business despite claim of victory over epidemic. Editor's note: despite the Chinese Communist Party's claim that the coronavirus epidemic is under control, many pieces of information indicate that the situation in China is still very serious. In the following letter, a lawyer in China told the Minghui website that prosecutors and courts have not resumed normal business hours in China. Many legal cases have been postponed, but people who exposed information about the epidemic were swiftly sentenced. The letter reads, in part, "Since the outbreak of the coronavirus epidemic, the police, procuratorates, courts, and even lawyers have stopped receiving visitors. While many sectors have resumed work since mid-March, the law enforcement and judicial agencies remain closed to most visitors, except for selective appointments. It's now very difficult to find a staff member to inquire about a legal case. I've noticed that some people have gone back to work, but most of the time, no one answers the phone when I call. Occasionally, some people answer the phone, but they refuse to talk to me anymore after learning the details of the cases I represent. I was able to make a few appointments, but when I was there on time, no one showed up or answered my call. Many court hearings have been postponed. If my clients wanted to close their cases earlier, the judge would order the lawyers to attend the hearing but not allow my clients to be present. What bothers me most is that the prosecutor and judge aren't allowing lawyers to express our opinions in our cases. We have to follow their rules. Because all these agencies work hand in glove in China, it's no use for me to report the situation. It's humiliating for me to have to kowtow to the prosecutor or judge in order to get things done. In fact, law enforcement and the judiciary in China are nothing but tools used by the government to suppress the people. Some judges charge exorbitant legal fees to prosecute a regular case. Instead of upholding justice, they are turning it into a money-making operation. Compared to the defendants in the regular cases that have been postponed, some of those who were arrested for exposing information about the epidemic were quickly sentenced, only days or weeks after their arrests. At this special time, I want to take the opportunity to thank all Falun Gong practitioners for standing up to the tyranny and working hard to disseminate factual information about the epidemic, despite the pressure you are all facing. You are sending us hope.
Feature film Eternal 50 Minutes depicts events surrounding the staged self-immolation and TV network interruption. Eternal 50 Minutes, the second part of the epic feature film Coming For You, produced by New Realm Studios in Canada, will soon debut. The film tells the story of the staged self-immolation on Tiananmen Square, the interception of the TV signals by Falun Gong practitioners in Changchun to get the word out, the misinformation fabricated by the Chinese Communist Party surrounding these events. The film's director, Kevin Yang, recently talked about why he was inspired to produce the film. He said, "No one should overlook the stage self-immolation incident when talking about the 20-year-long persecution of Falun Gong. This incident played the key role in changing people's sympathy to hatred towards Falun Gong." The video of the stage self-immolation was repeatedly played on CCTV, the CCP's state-run TV station, to incite hatred. Images from that video are still carved in people's minds. Even after 20 years, many Chinese people are reluctant to learn the facts about Falun Gong because of the impact of this incident. He continued, "In contrast, Falun Gong practitioners' untiring efforts to expose the persecution are heroic. A typical example is when a group of practitioners interrupted TV networks in Changchun in order to broadcast the truth about the persecution. They risked their own safety without hesitation to bring the facts about Falun Gong to people." He said, "We did not focus on a single individual in this film. Instead, we tried to depict a group of people and show the overall image of practitioners. This film also memorializes those practitioners who were persecuted to death by the CCP for clarifying the truth." Many people were moved as they watched the trailer.
New Zealand. Falun Dafa practitioners invited to the annual Kumeo Show in Auckland. Falun Dafa practitioners in Auckland were invited to participate in the annual Kumeo Show on Saturday and Sunday, March 14th and 15th, 2020. Held in the affluent rural community of Kumeo, about 30 minutes' drive northwest of central Auckland, the event boasts a variety of interesting entertainment and attracts many local residents every year. Falun Dafa practitioners had a booth and also participated in the entertainment with their waist drums and a dragon dance, which were well received by event attendees. Lizelle Westman was responsible for organizing the 2020 show, which had around 300 businesses participating this year. She said, "This is the 98th Kumeo show. Because there is a huge Chinese community in the region, We hoped that representatives from the community would take part in the show. The locals loved the performances by Falun Dafa practitioners in prior years. I even put the Falun Dafa entry in the front position at yesterday's parade. I admire the efforts put in by practitioners. I think this is an interaction between different cultures, and it is excellent. In New Zealand, we embrace different religions, beliefs, and so on. The practitioners told the organizer that they hope to share the Falun Dafa values of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance with the community. "This is what everyone should follow," she said. "You have done a great job every year and brought a lot of joy. I thank you for participating in the show every year." Virginia Wolf, an English teacher, started learning the Falun Dafa exercises at the event. She said, "I'm under a lot of pressure and tire easily, and I want to do something to increase my physical and mental well-being. I read the introduction on Falun Dafa, but thought it would be better to come and experience it for myself in person." In light of the current coronavirus outbreak, she said she thinks it's an excellent opportunity for the New Zealand government to understand how the regime treats its citizens. "I don't believe the figures reported by the Chinese government," she said. "Neither do I believe they have it under control. This epidemic is a warning to people. We cannot continue like this anymore."
Chinese Communist Party forcing youngsters to join youth organizations during the epidemic. While the schools in China remained closed due to the Wuhan virus in early March 2020, the Chinese Communist Party launched a nationwide campaign to force youngsters to join its affiliated organizations, including the Young Pioneers and the Communist Youth League, via DingTalk, the mobile application used by the majority of Chinese students who are studying at home. It was developed by the Alibaba Group in China and has more than 100 million users. In addition to being forced to join the CCP's Youth League, elementary school students are also required to attend weekly political classes, watch the CCP's flag-raising ceremonies, take and upload photos of themselves saluting the red flag, and writing weekly thought reports. Middle school students are required to study the CCP's glorious history, watch its brainwashing news every day, and then take exams. All of their answers and browsing history are recorded by the back-end server. Some schools use such data to assess qualifications for honors students. A screenshot of each student's CCP organization submission must be sent to the student's head teacher and is deemed mandatory. The orders were passed down to the school districts and education bureaus from higher-ranking CCP officials. Many teachers and parents were disgusted by what they were being forced to do. One parent in Hebei province complained, "My kids don't want to participate. I'll stop using the software on the phone." But the technical support staff, DingTalk, told the parent that if their kids didn't join, they would be deemed anti-China and anti-party, which would mean that the students could be deprived of opportunities to attend college, join the military, find jobs, or even get married.
Three Western practitioners stand up for Falun Dafa in China in December 1999, part one of three. Editor's note: the persecution of Falun Dafa officially began on July 20, 1999, with sweeping arrests of practitioners all over China. When the communist regime denied all avenues of appeal and continued to detain, brutalize, and slander practitioners, a number of practitioners traveled to Beijing, where they held banners to publicly call for an end to the persecution. Some practitioners from outside China went to Beijing as well, such as the three from Australia described in this article. During the Hong Kong Experience Sharing Conference in 1999, many practitioners of Chinese descent decided to go to China afterward to appeal and put an end to the persecution that had just begun. "I understood their reasons, but did not contemplate it any further. But after I sat in meditation one evening, a thought came to my mind. I am going to China. This thought came out of nowhere, and I felt that it was not from my human self. It felt very clear and somehow different from all my other thoughts that came from attachments, even well-meaning ones. So I made up my mind. The only thing left was to figure out what I would do there and how to do it. I thought that once I was in China, I would find a way to support Chinese practitioners in upholding the Fa and perhaps share our experiences of cultivating in different environments. I also wanted to let them know that practitioners all over the world were asking their governments for help to end the persecution in China. A Chinese practitioner from Australia said that if I was determined to go, I should at least write a letter and hand it to the Chinese government. I had already written similar letters to the Australian government and agreed with the idea. The process of writing the letter to the Chinese government actually helped to crystallize my thoughts and intentions. I told two practitioners who are brothers about my intention to go to China. They also wanted to go, but I worried that three blonde Westerners would draw too much attention and risk all of us being deported straight away. We accepted the possibility and planned to hand in the letter to customs officials if it came to that. During our first days in Beijing, we met another practitioner from Australia and a Chinese practitioner who was about 18 years old. She and the Australian practitioner asked where we wanted to go. We said, Tiananmen Square. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.